The Josh Freeman Show.
Freeman, the pass toward the end zone. Toward the end zone. It's caught! Touchdown, Tampa Bay Buccaneers!
Now here's Buccaneers quarterback Josh Freeman and your host, Scott Ledger.
All right, everybody, welcome in. Welcome in. Good crowd, good crowd. Good to see you, number five. Live radio from Raymond James Stadium. It is the first official Josh Freeman Show that's out and about, because we normally do it from somewhere else in the building.
Locked in a closet.
Yeah, this like we do it in this real kind of a tiny room, so it's great to be out amongst the fans, though. But how about it for number five, huh? You having a great year? Awesome, awesome. You know, I want to nickname you guys the Next Gen Bucks. You know, my friends keep talking, yeah, this Mike Williams guy, this Aurelius Ben guy. You say the more and more and more and more people are starting to notice that the names aren't just names, that these guys are making plays on the field. And, of course, that goes for number five. But this one stings. You know, I know it's four days ago, and we will go over it. We're not going to spend the whole hour doing it. But I couldn't watch it for a couple of days because you had them. You had them.
Yeah, we definitely did. We felt like we basically outplayed them. Three out of the four quarters, but 90% of the NFL games, I mean, it's decided in the fourth quarter. There are very few blowouts. I mean, you saw one on Monday night. There was one a few weeks ago, Eagles-Redskins, but, you know, they hung in it just long enough and were able to make the plays at the end to get it done, and we weren't. You know, it's as simple as that.
Six personal penalties in this building. In this one game, I think there were three or four shoving matches. There was one after an extra point. There was one on the sideline when you got hit late. I understand you're a little lighter in the pocket, courtesy of the NFL, on Grimes. You hit him half a yard out of bounds. But definitely the bottom line is I still say this. I really do think there's a brand-new rivalry in the NFC South, and I think it is the Falcons and the Buccaneers. I think these are the two teams that are definitely on the up. And let's talk about, you know, they score a touchdown. They get a drive. Michael Turner gets some running yards. But then you guys get the ball back first and 10 on the 14. And as I look at some of the plays that happened, it was just a wonderful drive of a mix of LeGarrette Blount running the ball and some short passes. Ryan Purvis gets worked in. You scramble for 17 yards, and we saw that infamous slide again. And when I tease him about a little, you guys notice it's kind of that pop-up slide where he's kind of half up and half down. And is it because you want to do that so you get hit, it's obvious you're being hit, or you want to see what's going on as you're sliding?
Yeah, no, I want to make sure I can see what's going on. You know, you see guys just completely giving themselves up in the slide, and if someone wants to take a cheap shot, I mean, you're defenseless at that point. So I like to keep my wits about me while I slide. It may not be the prettiest thing, but it's effective.
You guys get a first down with that, and you're starting to really work Aurelius Ben in several plays throughout the game, but a couple of times and runs. Talk about this guy's playmaking ability. This, you know, we've heard of Mike Williams a lot this year, but Aurelius Ben is really starting to step up.
Yeah, Aurelius, he's a stud. He really is. He's one of the best built guys on the team. He's one of the fastest guys on the team. He's just all around athlete. And we just try to find ways to get the ball in his hand. I mean, obviously he's a rookie. So some of the technical stuff in the receiving game, he's still working on, but he's doing an awesome job. And our main focus as an offense is to put the ball from a quarterback standpoint is to get the ball in the playmaker's hands. And when we have the opportunity to do reverses, throw a bubble screen, just get the ball in Aurelius's hands versus, I guess, physically inferior players. I mean, we go for that. And, I mean, he's done a great job.
And LeGarrette Blount breaks a big run, and then eventually he gets a six-yard touchdown. At that point, it's 7-7. Let me show you some of the stats here. The score was tied at 7 apiece at that point. The time of possession was Atlanta 7 minutes 31 seconds, Tampa Bay 7:29. Four first downs rushing, two first downs passing. These are equal teams coming in. 7-7 is the score, almost mirror images. You get the ball back on a third and two. You're rolling right. Caddy's wide open down the sideline. I think you guys remember that play. It's like, I'm like, Josh, just run that extra yard. Give me that extra yard. Yeah. Give me that first down. And you kind of wheel route. Is it a wheel route?
Yeah, it was a wheel route. And initially they covered it. Then I came back. My second read is Mike Williams. And I felt a little pressure, so I took off. And I was thinking I was going to get an easy dump to Mike. And then first down was there to run, and I kind of peeked up to see if there was anybody coming to hit me.
Your eyes get big.
And Cadillac is wide open. Like, when I say wide open, I mean nobody within 15 yards of him. Of course, the safety recognized it, but Cadillac would have caught it and ran for some. But it was, a rough turf, you know. You watch it on film, and it looks like he's walking on ice. I mean, notices he's wide open. He turns, starts waving his hands, and zoop, on the ground. And
was it the new – because if the Bucks were wearing a throwback unis, do you wear the same cleats that you normally wear, and they're just painted white, or are they a different cleat altogether?
Well, some guys that like their shoes extremely broken in, they'll do that. But, they'll get you the white pair, the type of shoe you want to wear a week in advance. So all week throughout practice, you have time to break them in however you like them and ready to go for Sunday. But I was wearing some different cleats.
Well, did you find it slippery?
I didn't, but I made sure to make a note of that and get some longer cleats.
Did you guys like the throwback unis? I'm noticing some throwback back there.
Oh, yeah.
I loved them. I absolutely loved them. Would you wear them twice a year?
Oh, I'd wear them.
Home and road, maybe?
I'd wear them 16 times a year. Maybe 18 after that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that, too, as a matter of fact. The Josh Freeman Show, you want to talk to him, 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620. Are we streaming live at Buccaneers.com right now, or is that going to be later? We're doing that right now. We're also streaming live at Buccaneers.com. Make sure you check out the show, 1-800-596-BUCKS. Michael Spurlock gets us a big kick return. Unfortunately, there's a holding call. You guys kind of start in a hole, but it was like one of those drives where, you know, it was 11 plays, but it wasn't a three and out, but, you know, you move the ball far enough, and Atlanta gets back the ball back. We trade unnecessary roughness. I think it was Roddy White and then Gerald McCoy, and they score. So basically they kind of counterpunch us. They come back with another score, and next thing you know, you turn around, Sean Jones gets his first pick of the season. Heck of a return on that.
Oh, yeah.
That was a great return.
I thought he was going to go the distance.
So did I.
It's great. Great job by Sean.
And he gets you down there. And I don't know how many times. I remember the Rondé pick the first game against the Browns. The Browns were up 14-7. They're driving. They could be up 21-7. Rondé gets the pick. You guys take it and score just before the half. This is almost the same scenario. It's happened a couple times this year where your defense, before the half is over, gets you the ball in good field position. And you guys punch it in. Let's go over that drive real quick. Mike Williams gets you 9. Aurelius Ben gets you 7 more. Then you're down. I think it was Winslow that got you down inside the 1.
Yeah, it was Strotter. Strotter caught one first, which he slipped, and I don't know how he popped back up, but he turns, breaks, ball's coming right at him. He slips, pops right back up, and catches it.
He made great catches like that
in
one game.
Yeah. Yep. And then Kellen working, I guess we call it in the paint, because he's kind of boxing guys out, catches it down to the 1, and then the next play tried to give Mike an opportunity versus
on the fade.
Yeah, versus Grimes, and it was a little underthrown. Mike did a good job of breaking it up, and then the next play he had another fade called, but they were bringing all up blitz, so I just wanted to get rid of it quick, had him do a quick slant and put it on him for a touchdown.
I don't know if people saw that the playback on that touchdown throw, but he had a pass rusher in his face. You've done that a couple times this year where you've kind of adjusted your throw because it's not like you sidearmed it, but you threw a perfect low pass because that's what you want on a slant, right? Especially in the end zone. You don't want to pick.
Yeah, basically. you have to put it down because for a number of reasons. In the red zone, there's a lot of bodies. I had a defender, arms completely extended. I kind of had to put it under his arm. And the other reason is if you throw a hot and high ball, it has the potential to bounce off somebody's helmet and go straight up in the air, and nothing good ever happens with the jump ball.
So you guys are tied at 14 to pop. You come out in the second half. You get the ball. LeGarrette Blount breaks a big one for 28. You get actually 3 consecutive carries by LeGarrette. Talk about what his ability to break tackles and turn a 2-yard run into a 6-yard run or 8 into 10. It's just a wonderful dynamic to have for our team.
Yeah. I mean, LeGarrette, he's a great runner. You know, he brings a different sort of physicality when he runs the ball and breaking tackles, jumping over people, running people over. He's definitely tough for defenders to approach. You know, when they come at me scot-free in the pocket, they're kind of like, wow, this guy's big. I think he has the same effect as a running back. When he gets up on a safety or even a linebacker, they're kind of like, how do you fit this guy up? And oftentimes he ends up running by him because he's pretty fast.
You see him coming out shaking his head. What's he like in the huddle? What's he saying back in the huddle? When he breaks a 28-yard run, he's coming back to the huddle? Because you guys are always talking. Until you read the play.
Yeah.
But what's he like? What's he like in the huddle?
He's, just ready to get that and process the information, ready to get the play call. You know, there really isn't a whole lot of conversation. I mean, obviously, we talk a little bit, but It's usually strictly business on the field, unless there's like a timeout or something. We're kind of just talking about, okay, they're bringing this blitz. They're adjusting with this, so we got to hit him with this, be alert for this. But when LeGarrette gets in the huddle, man, he's just trying to hear the play. And if it's a pass play, he's trying to figure out who his blocking responsibilities are. And if it's a running play, he wants to know what the possible audibles are. So I'm trying to stay one step ahead so we can play fast.
That's Josh Freeman. Want to talk to him? Get on the lines at 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620. We are live at Raymond James Stadium, Holiday Team Store. Good crowd out here tonight. You guys going to do some Christmas shopping too, get some autographs. You can meet Josh. And, of course, make sure you take great specials. There's also some wonderful drinks. But I see you're taking advantage of that wonderful drink special, sir. Good man, smart guy. But before we go to break, let's finish up this drive. A couple of times on this drive, you tried to hit Aurelius. There was one down the seam, and was he looking when he was supposed to be looking? You kind of looked at him like, I think I threw that ball to you, and you weren't expecting it. Yeah, what happened on that first play? This is before LeGarrette's runs.
You know, it's, young receiver, you know, he's never really been on the outside playing that position. And I'll say it 90% of the time, we call that exact same play, and he basically clears it out for Kellen, you know. But you get a certain coverage, the route's got to adjust. And, you know, I mean, I could have thrown a better ball. He could have run a better route. But the bottom line is we got to figure out a way to get it done.
He's starting to get open, though, because you do throw him a ball in the end zone. Grimes makes a pretty good play on it, comes kind of breaks on it late. Yeah. It was there.
Yeah.
It was there. But, you know, you guys answer. You get the wheels moving, and LeGarrette Blount gets it three straight carries. Next thing you know, it looked like on that third and eight that Kellen Winslow had gotten the first down. It looked like he extended on that play. Was there a ruling on that call? Because I know your coach wanted to maybe go to a review. There was, before the field goal team was trotted out there, it was kind of an issue for a couple of seconds.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like it to all of us. You know, obviously coach didn't see it. So, I mean, we did challenge it, didn't we?
No, you didn't. You just went for the field goal. Yeah,
It looked like it to me. Kellen would swear by it that he got it.
Like he extended the ball. Yeah. The foot went out, but he extended the ball past the line of scrimmage. Yeah,
it was a really great individual effort by Kellen. You know, when you get a third and really seven or longer, defenders can kind of drop underneath trying to take away any of the deeper routes, and you kind of got to dump it down and hope your guy can make something happen. And luckily we have a lot of skilled guys such as Kellen. And Cadillac's done an awesome job. Sammy Strotter, guys that can catch it, break a tackle, and get more yardage.
That's Josh Freeman. Want to talk to him? Get on the phones. We'll come back and start taking your phone calls. We are live at Raymond James Stadium. It's the Holiday Team Store. That's the west side, the Dale Mabry side. You'll see the lights on. We're actually streaming at Buccaneers.com right now if you want to catch the show live that way. And don't forget, we got LeGarrette Blount in here tomorrow night. As a matter of fact, if you want to stop by again tomorrow night, do some of your Christmas shopping, you will see the running back here tonight on this stage as we broadcast live all this week. We'll come back and take your phone calls, talk a little bit more about this game where the Buccaneers and Falcons are developing, I think, what's going to be one of the better rivalries in the NFC for years to come. And this is the Josh Freeman Show right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Josh Freeman Show on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 1035. Once again, Buccaneers quarterback Josh Freeman and your host Scott Ledger.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Josh Freeman Show. He'll be signing during the breaks. Good crowd out here. You know, we kind of pick it up. You guys are up 17-14. One of the first times this year, not necessarily at home or on the road, but you guys are actually getting to play with a lead. And then you later on we'll get to extending the lead, but I got to ask you about a couple. There was that 13-play drive where it looked like Grimes had a pick and it was reversed, and that turned out nice. And then Purvis was kind of wide open on a play.
Yeah.
Was that something you saw out of the corner of your eye? Was that something that was by design? And talk about Ryan Purvis being worked in. It's kind of neat. This is such a rookie squad. There's so many new names on this team, but everybody's really stepping up.
Yeah, that play was by design. You know, it was another instance where miscommunication when the ball's leaving my hands and weren't able to get it done, and it's a shame because it would have been a huge play. And Ryan Purvis is one of those guys that does a lot of great things for us in practice, and it's great to see him getting some action in the games. You know,
Johnny Gilmore is another guy, and we'll talk about him because he catches a touchdown in a couple of seconds here as we go kind of over the highlights for this Buccaneer game. But between Purvis and let me say, how many rookies are starting on an average about Well, if you go to Derek Hardman and you go to and you go to Larson and you go
really,
maybe seven or eight on the offense
this
week.
It depends what set we have in. I mean, you look at Hardman, Larson, LeGarrette. You got the Mike Williams, Aurelius Ben. You got the potential for Eric Lorig to be starting,
who's a
fullback that
he played a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we have a lot.
A lot of young guys on this team. You know, the neat thing about this Bucs team, and, again, we even talk about it on the defensive side, is Corey Lynch, who steps in for Cody Grimm, who goes down, who actually stepped in for all the way back to, 2 weeks into the season when Tanner Jackson gets suspended. So this team is doing a great job of whoever's job it is to step up next, steps up. Corey Lynch in his first start in the NFL, his first start. He's been in the NFL a couple of years, gets a pick, gives you guys field position on the 39-yard line. And, again, Aurelius Ben, I need you to describe, it looked like a little one-on-one. The corner was playing off him, and take it from there.
It was actually a run play had been called, and we were kind of getting off coverage. So I just signaled out to him real subtly and threw it out there. He made two guys miss and was off to the races.
It looked like he scored.
It did.
It looked like he got the pylon with the ball. But
upon further review, I mean, watching film the next day, he kind of stepped out.
You guys try LeGarrette for a couple yards, no gain. And then Greg Olson dials up. And, I kind of described the play, but I kind of want your opinion of some of the neat calls we saw. We saw the option to Spurlock from Josh Johnson. Mm-hmm. We're seeing we saw the Donald Penn touchdown a couple of weeks ago. We're starting to see Greg Olson's little bag of tricks here.
Yeah, yeah.
Ernest Graham throws a touchdown.
And they're, it's timing. I mean, it's impeccable. He knows exactly when to dial up a trick play. And, I mean, he wants to call them to where they're effective but not gimmicky. Because, we feel like we have a good football team, and trick plays are just – I mean, icing on the cake, but I guess the play was strung right west, sell it max power 16-0 quad, halfback pass.
Sell it? Is that Gilmore?
No. The
sell, having
the,
to sell the block?
The sell
what is that?
The sell it's just basically the O-line's blocking the play.
I see. And Ernest Graham's passer rating goes up through the roof, and you guys are up by 10.
It's ridiculous.
And about 10 minutes and 41 seconds, I think. I even remember the exact time on the clock. And all of a sudden, it's 102 yards later, and the Falcons seem to take the air out of the team. And, 9 minutes, 10 minutes of football left. Let me see. You guys have a three and out. The Falcons go back down for a long drive, but they go ahead. They go up 28-24. You guys get the ball back. Let me see, 4:31 on your own 23. You get a couple of first downs, a nice shotgun, beautiful deep ball to Mike Williams over the middle for 21 yards. Sammy Strotter catches a 4th and 12 while he's falling backwards. I'm sure you guys saw that instant replay. It seemed like just another fourth quarter comeback, no big deal.
That was the plan.
Did you guys do it?
It was when we got the ball back, we were all just kind of like, all right, let's get this thing over with and go ahead and win this game. And everybody in the huddle, we knew we were going to get it done. It's a great play by Grimes. That's all. I mean, you hate to be the guy that loses a game for the team.
No.
It's rough, no. Man. It really was. But at the same time, my teammates still kind of, hey, it's all right, man. We'll get them next time. And we really feel like if we can go out and run the table, we'll have a chance to go back to Atlanta and hopefully.
Wouldn't that be nice to be a wild card team going back? Because the Falcons don't want to play the Bucs three times.
That'd be the ideal matchup.
They're feeling lucky about the first two. There's no way they want to see your face again. I know that for sure. But we will give the Falcons respect. They're a good football team.
Yeah.
They're a double digit team. You get double digit wins in the NFL. That's not by accident. Roddy White is a professional, just like everybody else. He gets paid to make 3rd and 20 catches, and that's how it works in this league. But none of this, what do they always say, no moral victories.
No.
You guys seem to put it behind you very quickly. The only reason we're talking about it is because it's a radio show. If it was Thursday,
what else would we talk
and you're
about?
On the other side of this building, you're not talking about Atlanta. You're completely focused on the Washington Redskins as the rest of us are. So, let me tell you, let me ask you, what'd you take from that game? What did you come away with when you look at film and you look at your whole season, how things are panning out for you? I'd say, you know, things are going good. And, you know, people, I think, were trying to give you some grief saying, oh, do you feel like you're playing worse? And I don't think so. I think, you know, three touchdowns at, you know, this football team is scoring points.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, one thing about our offense, I feel like we can step on the field against anybody and compete. And I know that our defense feels the same way. And there's not a team in the NFL that I don't feel like we could go out and compete with, if not beat. And sometimes things don't go exactly your way, such as last week. But good thing about the NFL, you got another week to go out and prove yourself. And that's the plan.
It's kind of nice watching you guys run out that tunnel in the old school unis and the pom-poms and the 70s music. And this is 2 years in a row. This has really been you know, because you weren't around when I don't know how many of you people from around here, when that old uni was, you didn't wear it in public because people would point at it and go, huh, now there's like that heritage that goes with it. And it's kind of neat to break out. As you can see, that guy's walking up to you with an old school uni to sign. And, you know, I know you guys are in the locker room at halftime, but John McKay's welcomed in. And I think it was, you know, there's the crossroads between the old and the new. And I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers do a wonderful job of saluting their past. But let's talk about the present. Let's talk about the future. The Washington Redskins are a team that's struggling. They're not that good on defense. Donovan McNabb is struggling on third down and in the fourth quarter. He's not the McNabb of old, or hasn't been the McNabb of old. It's not your concern. But
yeah. But
this is a team that you're actually favored to beat on the road. That's not that often that happens. And do you feel the NFL has finally given this team respect because you're starting to stand up and, you know, play with the Falcons, play with the Ravens, that type of team?
Well, is it the NFL that's favoring it? Or is
well,
it Vegas?
Yeah.
The gamblers are finally giving us respect.
That's a good point. It's a very good point.
No, we feel like regardless, you know, we've been underdogs, I think, what, every game up until this one? Maybe
right.
Carolina we were favored the second time. But, I mean, we've been underdogs. I mean, that's not unfamiliar territory. We expect to – regardless of we're supposed to win or supposed to lose, we just want to go out and try to play our best football and win the game. You know, the good thing about our team is we don't let anything positive or negative that surrounds us going on outside the building in the media, we don't let it affect us. You know, we prepare, we come in, everybody's working hard. I mean, it's late in the season. You might expect some guys to be falling off, but, I mean, the intensity's right there. Everybody's right there mentally. And we expect to go out and finish the season out strong and make it to the playoffs.
That's Josh Freeman, a good crowd tonight at Raymond James Stadium. We're broadcasting from the Holiday Team Store. You can do some shopping here, pick up some Buccaneers merchandise, and or, by the way, guys, if you want to write down a question, find something to write it down. I'll be more than happy to relay it to him. If you've got a question, bring it on up. But we're going to go to our phone calls right now. We got Tim and Derek on deck. We're going to John first. Thank you very much. John, you are on the Josh Freeman Show. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing, man? I have to give you guys kudos for radio station. You know, I live in Pennsylvania. I called last night. I just find it fascinating that, you know, I can call in from here and I interact with, you know, my favorite team. I'm not sure if any other teams have this, nor do I care, because all I care about is the Buccaneers. But I just want to say, hey, what's up, Josh? I'm a huge fan, man. I actually have a friend in Tampa. Got me an autographed jersey from you, so it's hanging on my wall right now in my game room. So I'm a big fan. So I know back with the Falcons game, I know I hate bring up stuff in the past, even though I believe what you guys talk about, the rivalry. I agree with the two, and it seemed like it was deja vu with the Brent Grimes picks. I know a couple weeks in Atlanta, he got you on the same route with Mike Williams, and man, I can't stand that little man. So, but it is what it is. It's cool with the fact that, you know, in the past growing up, you know, Buccaneers fan, you know, you almost had to say a little prayer at night before you went to bed and watched the game that you hope the offense could put up some points because, you know, the defense had to carry. But it's great to know now with our offense now that, you know, with you at the helm, you know what I mean, we can match up with anybody, and it's just an honor, you know what I mean? And I guess I just wanted to ask you, from last year to this year, you know, obviously you've improved drastically, and I just wanted to know if the game's starting to slow down more for you, and just see where, you know, your head's at with, you know, your preparation each week.
Hey, thanks for the call, John.
Good stuff, John.
Yeah, I mean, people use the phrase the game slowing down. But
how does that equate to a quarterback?
It's really knowing what you're doing. You know, if you're indecisive, if you aren't familiar with what the defense is doing, if they catch you off guard, I mean, it's tough to really get a lock on what they're doing. Like, it's you're kind of in panic mode. But the whole slowdown concept comes from, I mean, your preparation and understanding the game more. And from year one to year two, I felt like I've made a lot of strides in understanding defenses, understanding the game, and knowing where to go with the ball.
How about the whole idea of the game flashing before your eyes really quickly? Is young quarterbacks almost can see, you see them start to peek at the pass rush rather than keeping their eyes downfield. In other words, that almost that deer in the headlights. Do you think that when people say that you're not, when the game is slowing down, that it's almost like you're just in this slow mind in your progressions? You feel the rush, but you don't look at it. Is that what he's talking about?
That's a huge part of it, you know. And I mean, you look at guys like Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, the guys that have been in the game doing it well for a long time, and you can tell the game's slow for them. You see them anticipating the rush, stepping up, moving side to side, eyes downfield, progressing as they move. And I mean, that's something that I can do sometimes, but it's something I'm still working on. You know, I still step up in the pocket and get rid of the ball, but that's something that I'd love to add to my game.
They don't have your wheels, and they don't weigh 255 either.
True.
All right, man. Brooks, hang on. We're coming to you. Derek, you're up next on the Josh Freeman Show. Welcome, Derek.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. In fact, I got my son his first. He's 1 year old. I got him his first Bucks jersey, throwback orange Freeman. It looks beautiful.
That's awesome.
I break it out last week before Christmas.
Nice.
Hey, you're obviously, man, you're the total package, I think, as a quarterback, and showing maturity way beyond your years. You know, watching the games, I'm just wondering how much input, how much autonomy does coach give you in terms of making the calls?
That's a good question. You know, he'll ask me. He'll be like, hey, what do you like on third down? What do you like in this situation? We go over it the night before, and then when we're in the game, I mean, obviously he's got the call sheet in front of him, and I'll go over to the sideline. We'll look at the coverages. He'll be like, well, you're probably going to get this or this. What plays do you like? And I'll tell him what play I like in that situation. And, I mean, he does take my input, you know, because he's played football back in the day, and he realizes that ultimately it's the plays that I feel comfortable with. I mean, but he does a great job of just knowing who I am as a player and knowing what I'm good at, knowing my likes and dislikes. And most of the time he calls exactly what I'm thinking. So it's great we're getting on the same level like that.
How much of that is based on, let's say, you know, if he gives you a certain play, we'll call it play A, and you're successful, and they keep track of that success rate. Is the success rate of some of your previous plays also considered when they bring up a play? Is it like, hey, you've been really good in third and seven with this formation? Or, you know, is that more the Washington defense is what you game plan for, and that's how it works?
It's tough. I mean, when it comes down to it, at the end of the game, you want to call plays that you're comfortable with. You want to call plays with that you know where every receiver is going to be. You don't want to call a play that you've only practiced one time, you know. But they do track it. They track it all. But Coach Olson mixes it up extremely well. I mean, I know we've gone through games where, as far as the passing game goes, hasn't called the same play twice, and we've thrown the ball 45 times.
Yeah.
So he's on top of it.
How much is Alex Van Pelt during the game? What does he do during the game?
I mean, he's kind of like a calming factor, you know. I spend the most time with Alex, and, I mean, he's played quarterback in the NFL, so he understands what I'm going through, whether it's a rough series and I'm a little frustrated or, I mean, it was a great series. I mean, he's there kind of helping me stay even keel and, okay, get ready for this next drive. All right, get ready for this, get ready for that. It's like, come on, man, you messed up on that. You know you're better than that.
I like it.
I mean, he's my coach.
I love it. I love it. Hillsborough, 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620. Got open lines there. We're going to read a couple questions here. Which one is Joe? Joe right here. This is a good question. I like this. Josh, when scrambling and throwing across your body, how do you get so accurate with such a difficult throw, both line and velocity, because you have done that and completed quite a few throws.
It's called having a bad offensive line in high school. I made every throw and kind of got used to it. You know, that's when I really first started playing quarterback. And I mean, I've always been what I consider a good athlete, but you know, I just kind of had the opportunity in high school. We threw a lot of passes, so I had the chance to make every throw and run around and do some crazy stuff. And
do you have a preference of right to left, if you're running right or running left?
You know, Probably right.
Yeah.
Because it's just a little easier. But, I mean, I can throw left as well. But, yeah, it's tough because it really – if you got a guy breaking back this way, like I'll take it back to the last game of the season last year versus Atlanta where kind of had the scramble play, the ref runs the guy over – or the guy runs the ref over and you're rolling right and throw back across to Jeremy Stephens. It's kind of like he's going this way, you're going this way. So you got to throw way back. You anticipate like a slant route. You got to kind of do that at times too.
But you can't put a lot of air under it. It's going to get picked. It's still, well, the opposite was you were rolling left through to your right in the touchdown to Winslow in the throwback game last year.
Yeah.
Because you were
That's a much more difficult throw.
Yes,
it is. And Kellen made a great play. It wasn't the best ball, but when you got receivers that make you look good, hey.
That helps.
It does.
That helps. Brooks and Fernando, stand by. We're coming to you. Got another question from our crowd here tonight. What is your game day routine before you come to the stadium?
Before I come to the stadium, I like to relax. You know, I'm a creature of habit when it comes to my preparation. I'm not very superstitious. I just think that what you do throughout the week,
your
preparation.
You drive the same route to the stadium?
Depending on traffic. Yeah. It really does. It really does. I mean, I don't like to be at the stadium way too early. You know, you got guys that get here 4.5 hours before the game starts. I would just drive myself crazy.
Too much time to think.
Well, yeah, when we go on the road, the bus leaves 4 hours, 15 minutes before the game starts. The first bus. There's two buses. And so I'll get there, have 4 hours, because, I mean, I want to show the team that I'm up, I'm ready to go, because usually it leaves at about, I don't know, 8:45, 9 o'clock in the morning. So I want to be up there. I want to be one of the first guys in the locker room. And you get in there, you get dressed, get nice and comfortable. And the worst are the locker rooms with no TVs because a lot of them have TVs so you can kind of watch what's going on.
Game day, ESPN, kind of getting a feel of everything that's going on.
Yeah, for sure. But if they have no TVs, you're kind of just sitting in there.
Too quiet.
Yeah, it's way too quiet, and you got all these nerves going.
Any music? Any specific music?
Nah, I kind of mix it up. I have whatever 2,000 songs on my iPod, and I just hit shuffle. I like it all.
How about in warm-ups on the field? Do you go out to warm-ups an hour before? Because I've seen you warming up.
Yeah.
I usually see you throwing passes from around the 50-yard line.
We will get about an hour and 45 minutes before kickoff. We'll go out, quarterbacks, wide receivers, a few tight ends. We'll go out and just go through all our routes, our route trees, go through any throws that we might want to get shirt up before the game and just kind of get our juices flowing.
I see you out there, and as well as Josh Johnson and Rudy Carpenter, we're throwing those little sideline things where you just kind of float, and the guys just kind of warm up. It's nothing that you're going to reach. It's like the basic warm-up, and that's about an hour before. How about before we go to our break, how about just before kickoff? Because you see a lot of guys. The camera showed Rondé, and he was walking around. And there's a lot of guys that get themselves pumped up a different way. Is you try to quiet your mind as a quarterback?
Yeah, that's something that I had to learn from high school. High school, it's a different game, much simpler game. I played with a lot of intensity. I'm still passionate, I'm still intense, but, you kind of have to keep your wits about you, keep a clear head, because everything you're doing offensively kind of rides on you making the right decision. And so many times a defense will try to just deceive you and disguise their coverage or their blitz, and you still got to be able to remember what you learned, that one blitz that you saw from week 3 that you got to dig way back in the chest, and that's that blitz.
It's good to get a couple of coaches helping you remind a couple.
Yeah.
The 8,000 things you need to remember before kickoff.
Oh, yeah. It's a test, but I have a cheat sheet in all my coaches.
Hey,
get ready for this. Get ready for this. And it's kind of, all right, get up to the line. Okay, red flag. We need to slide the line this way. Stuff like that.
That's Josh Freeman, ladies and gentlemen. Let's hear it for him. It is the Josh Freeman Show. We are live. We've got more questions coming up, and we will get to Brooks and Fernando. You guys are on deck on the phones. We'll also load people behind them at 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, or 1-800-596-BUCKS. When we come back, we'll even read Tyler's question. If you have a question in the audience, feel free to bring one up. We'll see if we can get as many as your questions as possible before we get the show done. Don't forget, LeGarrette Blount will be here tomorrow night, and the store is open from 3 to 8 daily, 3 to 8 today and tomorrow. The show's only taking place for an hour, but you can come do your shopping from 3 o'clock on. We'll come back and do more of the Josh Freeman Show right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
We're back with the Josh Freeman Show on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 103.5.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Raymond James Stadium. We're inside the gift store, West Side, Dale Mabry Side. Get to park where the players park in the fancy parking lot. What'd you ride in tonight? Which car?
My truck.
Took the truck in tonight?
Yeah.
All right, guys, by the way, Buccaneers are having a special. If you purchase season tickets for the remainder, that's the last four games this season and 2011, any type of package, you will receive a free upgrade to stadium seats, stadium club seats for your choice of either the Detroit or the Seattle game. For more information, 1-866-582-BUCKS or visit Buccaneers.com. We're going to go right back to the phones. We've got a couple of questions here. Anybody else, if you have a question, feel free to bring it up for us. But, Fernando, you're on hold. We're coming to you next. We're going to Brooks. Brooks, welcome to the Josh Freeman Show.
Scott, how you doing? Thanks, man. Josh, how are you?
What's up, Brooks?
Not much, man, not much. Just want to make a comment and a question. Been a Bucks fan for a long time, season holder, ticket holder since the 90s. And late 90s, you know, it was kind of expected that we were making the playoffs as fans. Had a pretty solid defense and offense was okay. And then it was flip-flop for so long. And then last year we get a bunch of rookies, you know, lose a bunch of guys. And I'll say for the first time, I don't really care that we lost because you guys just, you know, played your butts off. And it's exciting to see what's going to happen the next couple of years with you guys. So, you know, we appreciate it. And we're still behind you even if you guys don't win. But question, that catch with Sammy Strother, the one that Scott was talking about, was that pretty much just he came back to the ball and somehow caught that? Because I just – that was amazing. And last thing I heard, you said you drove a truck in a night. I got an autograph one day and thought you had a 7 Series. Get some rims, man.
Oh. Thanks, man. The catch to Sammy Strother, it was a great catch by him. I mean, we got
Sammy had a good game, by the way, too.
He did. Yeah. It was great to see Sammy get involved. You know,
a little bit more work than the last couple of games, anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, he had a big rookie year. You know, and this year it's been kind of slow. Mike Williams is getting a lot of catches. Kellen's had his games.
You got a target. Your ones and twos.
Yeah,
you got to target him.
No doubt,
sure.
No doubt. And Sammy's kind of, I mean, hasn't really got a whole lot of action, but the way he stepped up and made plays for us, I mean, it's awesome. It really is to see Sammy. He's one of those guys I know I can count on. And the play that that everybody's talking about, the catch he made on 4th and 12, he was running across the field. Bierman comes. I step up real fast and almost start running so he can't get me, and I throw it. And it's kind of like there were a defender to Sammy's right, the window I'm trying to squeeze it in.
Was it three guys around
him?
Yeah,
defender to his left, and then a guy coming from behind him. And I just threw it as hard as I could in between the three of them. And,
looked like you knocked him over because he fell back this way as he was catching the ball. It almost looked like you knocked him over. But
I think the guy behind him was trying to lay him out, and he kind of saw that coming and fell back. And it was when he caught that, man, I was like, we're going to
win. Who's the most competitive of all your wideouts? Because they all seem competitive.
The most competitive. If you include Kellen Winslow, I'd say him.
Yeah.
But Kellen, good old Kellen. Probably Mike. I mean, Mike's really competitive. I mean, they're all really competitive. But I mean, you can tell that Mike's just loves beating people. You know, and I think we're like minded in that way. We want to go out and not only beat people but embarrass people. We want to play that great and. But everybody comes in. I mean, those guys give so much effort, you know. Starting in training camp, those guys have been really a bright spot. Those guys said, we're going to outwork everybody, not only position groups on our team, but we're going to try to outwork every receiver group in the NFL. And I'd put my money on our team if they were ever a contest.
I'll tell you what, a lot of people that are paying attention to the Buccaneers realize, and, you know, you got people like Desmond Briscoe waiting in the wings, too. There's quite a bit of talent on the offensive side for the Buccaneers. Let's get to some of these questions. But before we do, Fernando's been on hold a while. Fernando, you are on the Josh Freeman Show. Thanks for hanging on, buddy.
Josh, Fernando, how are you doing, buddy? You remember me from the All-Star Golf?
Oh, Fernando. What's going on, Fernando? How are you doing?
How are you, buddy? Good to hear from you. You were a great golf partner. He's a humble guy. He comes from good stock. But a couple questions, Josh. First of all, how hard is it to lose two games to Atlanta that you probably feel you should have won? And don't you hope that one day you'll have a name like Fernando or Madonna and they'll just start calling you Josh?
Single name reference.
You know, it really is rough, you know, to lose to the Falcons in the manner we've lost to them. We lost to them in Atlanta last year, which was a heartbreaker. And then the past two times, we were right in it till the very end. And, you know, Josh would be great, but it'd be tough because Josh Johnson, you know, they kind of got to use my last name. But little tidbit about the golfing. I finally got my friend Ian some golf shoes, so next year he'll be ready to go.
You hit a good driver?
Depends. It really does.
When you hit it straight?
Yeah, when I hit it straight, I crush it.
How far does it go?
You know, I'd probably say somewhere around 300, maybe a little short.
Better.
But yeah, nice. It's it really depends. I pride myself in good short game, actually, because I tend to lose control with the driver.
Well, 6'5", you got a club speed of about 800 miles an hour or something. So, it's you know, if you don't hit it straight, it's going different places.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to go back to the phones. Wow, good calls tonight. Drew and Glenn, stand by. Adam, stand by. Let me get to a couple of these real quick that are written down. What made you decide to play quarterback when you were younger? And did you play youth football? And if so, obviously, what position? So they're almost a connected question, if you understand.
All right, well, I'll start with the earlier one, the youth football. I did. My dad wouldn't let me play tackle football until fifth grade, so I was kind of playing flag for a little while. And then then when I finally got to play tackle, it was awesome, and I played linebacker and running back. And I never really considered quarterback until my eighth grade year when our quarterback for our team broke his hand. And I had the next best arm, or I had the best arm on the team to begin with, but I was a good runner.
You have a good arm, so he must have had a very good arm, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah. He's actually the starting quarterback at Kansas State
right
now.
There we
go.
He's
one guy I grew up with, one of my best friends. And so then I get to high school, and I was playing linebacker, playing it really well. And that's what my dad played. He played linebacker, so following in the old man's footsteps. I was always had a knack for it. But,
you like hitting guys?
I do.
Yeah, I noticed. But, Grimes knows you like to hit guys, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was worth it.
That was a good hit. I liked it. Believe me, I loved that hit. I was almost as angry as you. Not as angry as you, but almost as angry as you. All right, guys. Well, we appreciate you hanging on. Drew and Glenn, stand by. Adam, you're on the Josh Freeman Show. Welcome, buddy.
Hey, what's up, Scott?
I'm doing great.
What's going on, Josh? How you doing, man?
I am awesome, man. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. First off, I want to say huge Bucks fan. I've been wearing the creamsicle since I was a toddler.
Nice.
Love it, man. I can't get enough of that color. But I just had a question. Thinking back to the Ravens game, you know, you guys are down pretty much the whole game, and you get to that fourth quarter and you start running the no huddle. And I noticed you kind of had a knack for that no huddle. I mean, you seemed like you were doing well. We finally put a touchdown in, and I was wondering why not call the no huddle offense more.
Oh, I mean, there are a number of reasons. I mean, the no huddle is kind of risk-reward type of deal. I mean, we get it cranked up pretty good now. When we're rolling, we're rolling. I don't know if there's a team in the NFL that can stop us when we're on our game in our two-minute. But
the upside is you don't want the defense to have any situational substitution. You keep them on the field.
Yeah,
you keep them on the field.
If you get the right personnel group in, maybe you get a mismatch in the slot, you can roll with that all day. But the thing about – one, I mean, I'm a second-year guy. I pride myself in being good at the no huddle, but you look at Peyton Manning, and there's so many different aspects to the no huddle. And I'm still learning, still getting better. But I mean, right now it's we talk about it. I think we're one of these games we're going to bust it out and play a majority of the game in no huddle. But there is a very big risk. Time of possession's often shorter. There's a higher risk of a three and out because primarily passing it.
Yeah, you could end up with 3rd and 10 real quick. Yeah,
yeah. Yep. So there are benefits, and then there also, I mean, can be a detriment.
How about the O-line? Do they get gassed, or is it situational substitution with wide receivers that are running 40-yard routes over and over too?
Yeah,
I mean, there's got to be a downside to it.
Yeah, you talked about trying to catch a team into personnel or get going so they can't substitute, don't have time to dial up any crazy blitzes. But, it wears guys out because you're running to the line. You're up. It's almost like running sprints.
Like the Oregon offense.
Yeah.
Oregon offense.
Yeah. And, I mean, when you substitute a guy, it makes it tough because there's rules in the NFL, they got to, like, come inside the hash and go back out before they – so you couldn't just sneak a guy on the side. So, I don't know, man. I think it's something we do well. I think that in the future you can probably look forward to us doing a little two-minute in the first half. But, you know, for now, I think that running the big fella, getting them 100-yard yeah. games is pretty awesome.
Nothing wrong with LeGarrette Blount or Cadillac Williams sharing about 30 touches a game either, because that makes that play action even more effective. Glenn, you're up next on the Josh Freeman Show. Welcome.
Hey, welcome. Thank you. Hey, Josh, you had mentioned a little while ago about running about 45 plays without running, any one of them twice. I was just curious on a couple things. How many actual plays do you have to know and be prepared for to run in a single game? And also, I've never played football, but I've always been a fan, but I was always curious as to what the anatomy of that play call is, what, you know, when you're talking about what the play is, what everything in that play means to individual players and stuff like that. And I was just wondering if you'd be able to go over any of that.
Give us an example of just a basic call.
Just a basic.
And what each call represents.
Basic call, let's go trips right, 76 double dip, zebra flat. All right.
Okay, break that down real quick.
All right, trips right is a formation. It's a 3-by-1 formation. Usually run it out of zebra personnel, which is 3 wide receivers, a tight end, 1 running back. Trips right, 3 wide receivers, or a tight end, 2 wide receivers to the left, and the X receiver, Mike Williams, to the left. 76 is a protection. The line has 4 down. They're dragging Mike to Sam, which is basically their protection thing. The back has Will to weak safety to weak corner to scan back across for the Sam, where the strong safety. And that's
– getting all this?
I just
want to make sure everybody's getting all this.
Yeah, that's a protection. So after you get the protection, the concept is it's a double. So you classify them all in families. The doubles family is usually have 2 routes on the outside are mirrored. They run the same thing. And there's a middle read on the inside. So if it's quarters coverage, he runs a post. If it's cover 2, he runs a post. If it's cover 3, he'll run a cross. If it's cover 1, man-to-man, he'll run a cross. So basically he has an option, depending on the coverage, to run 2 different routes. And then you tag the zebra with what route he's running, and that's a flat route.
And there is one play in the NFL. That sounded like about an hour's worth of plays in the NFL, but that was one play. Let's, before we go to break, let's sneak Drew in. Jerry, do we have time or we run low? Okay, Drew, let's sneak in real quick before we go to break. You've been hanging on. You're worth the wait. Go for it, Pearl.
Josh, real quick. I know the standard answer to this is going to be, listen, I just want to win games for my team. But, you know, as a fan and even hearing a lot of talking heads, people say how much you're improving and that the skies could be the limit for you. Do you aspire to saying, I want to be the number one quarterback in the league or the top 5 quarterbacks in the league? And, you know, like I said, I know you're more importantly, you're concerned about winning for the team. And my second question real quick is it true that quarterbacks get all the best girls?
Yes, that part is very true. No, when you talk about personal aspirations, I think personal goals are really important in anybody's life who, especially for a football player and a quarterback. I mean, you want to be the top of your field, the top of your profession. And I have goals to walk away from the league when I retire someday, regarded as one of the best to ever play the game. You know, that's my goal. And I realize that it all Rome wasn't built in a day. I mean, it's not all going to happen right away, but you just got to keep working at it, giving it all you got. And if you can continue to improve, like I've improved from year 1 to year 2, if I can do that same jump from year 2 to year 3, I mean, it'll be no time before I'm top 5. If not,
I will substitute when instead of if, because he's being humble over here. He'll say if, and I'll say when that happens, because it is going to take place. Guys, we're going to hit a break. Good round of applause. We're going to hit the break and come back and wrap it up. We are broadcasting live from the Holiday Team Store. It's the Josh Freeman Show. We're coming back right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
The Josh Freeman Show continues on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE at US 1035.
All right, everybody, welcome back as we wrap up the Josh Freeman Show on a Thursday night. Don't forget, LeGarrette Blount will be here tomorrow night at the Holiday Team Store, west side of Raymond James Stadium. By the way, It's a great way to wrap up this season and the race to the playoffs and all of next season. If you're thinking about season tickets, you can purchase season tickets for the rest of this season and the 2011 package. You will get free upgrades for stadium club seats. Those are the sweet seats, and you can pick either Detroit or Seattle. It's a great ticket package. Make sure you take advantage of it. 1-866-582-BUCKS or Buccaneers.com. We've got about 2 minutes, bro. Washington Redskins, you know, I guess we'll call it the race to 11 right now, because the bottom line is you got four certainly winnable games. We won't worry about Seattle. We won't worry about Detroit. But the concern right now is cold weather football in Washington. When was the last time you played a real good cold weather game, Kansas guy?
Baltimore was, it was fairly cold at times. But I guess expecting it to be, mid-40s maybe? Yeah. So
I noticed a glove on your left hand, but I didn't see anything on your right hand. Have you ever worn a throwing glove at all, in cold weather?
I have, but I like it, just the feel of the leather. You know, yeah. It's kind of a feel thing for me. And, it may get cold, but they got hand warmers, so I just basically keep my hand in my hand warmer the whole time, and plus not soft.
I read somewhere that you do. You take pride in the fact you've played sloppy weather football, outdoor football. I mean, how many guys really like football in the mud and the snow and the rain? I mean, domes are cool and all, but, I grew up in Connecticut. I love a good turkey bowl full of leaves and dirt in my face, and it seems like it would be nice to see you go up there and to the Washington Redskins and in their home stadium and get that eighth win, bro.
Yeah, for sure. And it's I feel a little better knowing we have LeGarrette on our team. And if it comes down to playing just a wet mud bowl, I like our chances regardless of the weather, honestly. But just knowing that we can't – we've overcome, the cold. We haven't really had a really wet game, but we had one wet practice, or soaking wet practice in training camp, and that was one of our better practices, more spirited. Execution-wise, we were still on tee, but it's all about, like you said, the race, man. We're still racing. 10, you say 11, we want to win as many as we can. And the Washington Redskins are the first team in our way.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a good show. We're out of time. I'll do some shopping here. Swing on by. Say hi to us. Don't forget, LeGarrette Blount will be here tomorrow night. Thank you. Good crowd. Good crowd tonight. Give yourself a hand. Absolutely. We've been streaming at Buccaneers.com. If you missed this show, I guess there's two different ways you can hear it. You can check out the Total Access shows as well. You can also check out the stream as well. Josh, great show, man. Great to see you out here signing autographs with your fans and all. Stay healthy, my friend.
Thank you.
And we will see you on the playing field, and we'll get you back here for back-to-back home games, which would be real nice. Don't forget, by the way, Buccaneers.com has tickets for both Seattle and the Detroit games. We are done. We will talk to you real soon right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to The Josh Freeman Show on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.